When Pastor Carter asked me a few minutes ago, how many children have you adopted? And I said, 9. And it suddenly hit me. It just brought tears to my heart. What a blessed man. And what a blessed man. To be a father, I have 4 grown girls of my own. And it's what an honor to raise them. And I've got 4 of the most beautiful children here tonight. In fact, Matty is the oldest, the youngest. I can't see you, Matty, but I know you're here. He's 7. Stand up. There's Matty. He's 8. Kareem, stand up. This is Kareem. I have my grandchildren with me. Some of my grandchildren. I think they take up that whole role. I have Carter Jr. Stand up, Carter. He's asleep. I have Jackson. He's asleep. We've wore him out. And I have Molly. Where's Molly? There's Molly. I have my 2 daughters, Hannah and Rachel. Hannah and Naomi. You forget the names when you get such a crowd. Hannah and Naomi. I have my 2 sons-in-law, Josh and Philip. I have my friend Bruce and his wife Joan. And also I have my beautiful wife. Stand up, Ange. And it's a great privilege to be here at Times Square with these pastors, Pastor Carter, Teresa, and all your brothers. What an incredible choir. I can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. Boy, that singing, such singing we've never heard. It's going to be good. The Lord is good. My name is Pete, and this is what I want to bring to you tonight. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Did you hear that? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Fool, don't stay in destruction tonight. There's a way out. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. That's the secret, Brother Carter. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He would not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What a merciful God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all his benefits. May 1962, the 22nd of May, I stood in the dock in a court in Liverpool, England, with 3 of my friends. We'd broke into a butcher's store, and we broke into many stores at that time. We were not big-time crooks, but we were rascals. And we were sinners, and we didn't care about what people thought about us. But we broke into this store and they caught us, and I remember 22nd of May 1962. My mom had been a Christian 4 years, and it broke her heart to find out that her son was stealing and doing those things. But on the 22nd of May, that morning, the judge looked at me, and I was scared. I was almost wetting myself with fear. And I smiled at the judge, but that was a fearful smile. And he got mad at me for laughing. He thought I was just, I thought it was a joke. And he sentenced me to 2 years in prison with my three friends. And the newspapers that night, they says, the newspapers quoted the judge, a menace to society, goes to prison for 2 years. Only stole 7 pence. I didn't even steal it. But I went to prison for 2 years. And it broke my heart in my mother's home, Liverpool, that day. I know she sobbed. I'm one of 9 children, and I know everybody was distraught. My father was not saved. Neither were my sisters and brothers, but my mom was. And she prayed for me every day of her life. In 1982, I've been a Christian. Eight years, and I've been preaching. And I was preaching on the northeast coast of England. And I went into a full gospel businessman's meeting that night. And I shared my testimony, how God had saved me and given me a new life. And there was 3 elderly couples in the meeting that night who came forward for salvation. I didn't remember him, but that Crown Court judge was one of the men that came that day. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Our judge had met me twice, once to condemn me and once to receive life by the grace of God. He's chosen the base and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And I can promise you one thing for sure. You shake off them shackles of sin, you're no longer a fool. Christian, bought with a price, with a new life. An incredible life. It was a butcher's shop. 30 years later, my father died and I preached his funeral. And the butcher was in that shop that day as I preached Christ Jesus. I didn't know he was in the store, but about a year later I went back and my mom said, "Have you been over to Franklin's? That's the name of the butcher's." And I said, "No." He said he was in that service last year, so I walked over to him. All those years had stolen from his shop. And all he could talk about was that message I preached. He said, "I've never heard nothing like this in all my life. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." What an amazing God. What an amazing God. I know I broke my mother's heart in 1962. In September of 1963, I came out after 16 months. And I know she was expecting me to do well, change my life. But I was in and out of prison for most of my young life up till I was 31 years of age. A fool. Wasn't a big time crook, just a fool. Knew no other way of life. Absolutely blind, and a man don't know he's blind till he can see. He just knows there's nowhere to go. There's limits to his life. But once a man can see, there's no limits in God. I can tell you that now. You don't run on your own notions, but we have a brand new pedigree, a holy pedigree, a righteous nature, being blessed, being born again of the Spirit of God. In 1975, I was in prison again. I'd only been out 3 days from the last time. And my mother was broken. And she passed the prison in the bus. And the prison there, the wall is about 32 feet high. And the prison cells, the blocks are 5 or 6 stories high. And she passed in despair. And sometimes a Christian despairs. But I want to tell you, forget not all his benefits. I want to tell you, there's not a time when that man of God or the woman of God feels despaired or feels discouraged. And God speaks into your ear and something mighty happens. He awakens that soul. He's an inspiring God. He's a mighty God. My mom passed that prison that day and a friend that was with us said, "Eileen, the time is nigh for Pete's salvation." All them years, he's a faithful God. All them years of waiting. And he tells her, salvation is nigh. She gets home that night. She's rejoicing. A few days later, I'm out of prison, but I'm back in prison again. But something happened. I got back in prison for the first time in my life. I began to think about the life I was now living. It's the goodness of God. You know, the only reason you're here tonight, if you're unsaved, is because of the goodness of God. Do you know that God loves you even though you're messed up? And do you know that God chases after you even though you're messed up? You know why he does that? Because he loves you. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. I was totally messed up in my head in every way. But for the first time in my life in 1975, I began to think about my life. The way I lived, there was no future, there was no hope. It was just a miserable life and bringing misery to everybody else. I never shared that with nobody, but that's the way I lived. Full of sorrow, full of emptiness, but with nowhere to go. And then I began to ask myself questions in my prison cell. There's two other men in the cell with me, 9 foot by 6 foot, three beds, three chamber pots, and three tables and three chairs, 9 foot 6 by 6 foot cell. Kind of cramped. But you get used to it. And over nighttime now, I began to ask myself questions, and one day I eventually sent for the Bible, and I began to read the Bible. I couldn't understand the word it said, just stories. But in January 1976, I woke up to go to work in the prison kitchen at 5 o'clock that morning. God is faithful. My mom been praying a long time. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and believe him and trust him. He never fails. He'll give you the desire of your heart. You delight yourself in God and he will. And she wept and wept before God. And January 1976, the 16th, I woke up. Went to work in the kitchen and the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart because I didn't know the Holy Spirit. It said, I'm not a figment of your mother's imagination. I'm the Christ that died for you. And in one moment's time, I said, I'm sorry. There's mama preaching to me now. And it's not a preacher that's talking to you now. It's God. He loves you. And it's God that breaks that barrier. It's the Holy Ghost that brings a man to Christ. And the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart that morning and revealed to me that Christ had died for me. It wasn't a story my mom told me, but that Christ was the person of God. He was the Son of the living God, and that he loved me so much that he paid the price for my sins. He died in my place that I wouldn't have to go to hell. And in a moment's time, I crumbled. In a moment's time, I was broken. Everything in me was broken. The pain and the struggles. I was out. Found freedom right where I was, brother. I didn't need a brain surgeon to tell me what had happened. No, sir. I was free in a moment's time. When you knock them walls down and them barriers down, it's an amazing place to be. God knocks them barriers and walls down. And that's just the beginning, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter where you are, behind a kitchen sink in a barbershop. Walking the streets of New York, I can tell you, when a man gets free, he's free indeed. God can deal with you, give you life right where you are. I woke up the next day having given my heart to the Lord. No Christians in the prison, just me. Just full of heathens like I was. And I began to read the word of God. Understand it didn't come real easy because remember, I'm just a baby. Baby don't understand much, but it knows what love is. It never wants to be apart from mama. Doesn't have no imagination, but has feelings. Began to read this book, and I began to read about my Savior, my God. I didn't understand his terminology, but I sure understood his love. And I saw him walking in this book, but he was walking now. It wasn't 2,000 years ago. He was now. He was alive to me now. And when he's alive to you now, them hands go up, the heart begins to praise God. I didn't understand that's what Christians do, but it's born in you to glorify God. You lift up them hands. And I can tell you, all these years, 35 years later, I still lift up them hands. I still lift up, despite myself, even when I fail, I can go before the throne of grace. Because his love towards me or you never changes. It never changes, brother. The Bible says that God is love. And he is. I read about him. My doctrines I didn't understand. One day a man asked me, "Brother Pete, what are your doctrines?" I said, "Everything Jesus said." It's pretty cool. I just believe him. See, that's all he asked me to do. Just to believe in him. And I remember being saved just a few days. I wanted everybody saved. You see, because that's God's desire. And he gives you the desires of your heart. He puts his desires in your heart. And he's not willing that any should perish. And he comes alive in you and in me. And he speaks through this temple called the temple of the living God. And that desire. And I began to tell the men about Jesus, how he loved them. And they thought I was nuts. But then they would find me in my cell reading my book, the Bible. They had a little spy hole on, you know, on your door, in that little cell. And I would go in there and I would pray, brother. Lift up them hands, Pastor Carter. I'd work in the cell. It was good to be on my own with the Lord. I'd pick up my hands and I'd say, "Lord, I love you." And I'd hear them say right back to me, "And I love you." And I'd say, "I know, I know, I know." I didn't know they were looking through that spy hole. I know, I know. Free from public opinion. Free from what people think about me. Saved by the grace of God. A child of God. Born of God. His son. Full of his love. And I began to read and read and read and began to tell others about God. Before long, there was 10 of us saved. And we would pray together. Oh, I didn't want to leave the penitentiary, I can promise you. I really didn't. You laugh at that. But I'd sooner be in the will of God than any other place in this earth. You know, there's no greater form of existence like living in the will of God. Whether that's in the darkest jungle or the filthiest prison. I'd just been in Thailand just a few weeks ago. Boy, I love preaching in them prisons. They don't allow the Bible there, but they let me in. Amen. I preached in them prisons. I'd sooner be in the will of God than any other place on this earth. And just in the will of God, not prison, you don't have to beg God to get out of there. When you're in the will of God, it doesn't matter where you are. Whatever state we land this, whatever state we're in, we learn to be content and satisfied. And if you've come from a background like me, and all of you have, without hope, without anything, then you find Christ. You don't care where you are. It's an amazing life. It's an amazing life. And I began to challenge every prisoner in them prisons. Now, I didn't know much, but I just shared with God. But the time I come out, there was 33 of them saved. We had a church started on the outside of that prison for the first time in its history. Came out of prison, and because you don't know you're doing these things. It's just a natural thing. It's God. That's what Jesus come to do, see, folks. And he does it the way he wants to do it, not the way you think it should be done. And I remember I was coming home, my parents, my mother particularly, was worried. I'm one of nine, I had eight brothers and sisters at home. And my dad, at the time, was a drunk. And I was coming out of prison, and I'd already wrote to them and told them I was saved. And I was telling them what God was doing in the prisons. So all my brothers and sisters were lined up when I come home. They were all grinning. My father was grinning. He was laughing. I knew 5 minutes' time my friends were coming. They'd be knocking on the door. That's what they always did. And we'd go out, go on the booze and do what we do. And so they're just laughing. But my mom, she's very anxious. And I know it's the Holy Spirit, but you don't feel it at that time. I went upstairs into my closets and I got everything that I owned that had been in my past. I didn't even know why I did it. I just went upstairs and got it all, come downstairs and took it into the yard and put a match to it. When I come back into the kitchen, my mom's like that. She ain't nervous no more. My brothers and sisters, they knew something had happened in that life. 4 minutes later, four of them standing at the front door. Let's go. I want to tell you something. When you find Christ, he becomes your resistance. He becomes the resistance. He holds back the struggle of sin, all the temptations, all those things that come your way. They knocked on my door, and right out of their mouths, they said, "Let's go." And I said, "I ain't going nowhere." I said, and I didn't know. I just said, "I ain't going nowhere." I didn't want to go back there. I wasn't going back in that pit. No, said I wasn't going back in there. I'd prayed for the last 6 months to bring them out. I ain't going back with them. No, sir. And so I began to tell him, "No, I'm not going there. I'm a Christian." Well, we're Christians too. They were all, each one of them were Roman Catholic guys that go to Mass on a Sunday. Friday night, they would rob and rape like me. They'd do all the things that we did. And I just reminded them, I said, "Tony, I said, man, I'm not talking about that kind of Christianity. I'm talking about being born again, having a new life, a new spirit." I said, "That's just church and religion with you." I said, "Never changes your life." And I began to tell him and remind him. One time, we'd robbed the safe. There was four of us. We stolen the safe. We broke into a store, took the safe, had it in the back of the van. And we were driving down the road. We hadn't even got the money out of the doggone thing. And we're driving down the road, and we passed a Catholic church, and they blessed themselves. For real. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. They used to call us the Quality Street Gang. In England, there was a box of chocolates, and it was all kinds of designs and all different, so they called them Quality Street. They called us after the Quality Street Gang. One time, we went big-time thieves. I tell you, we're a mess. We broke into a store one night. This has really happened. We broke into a store, the four of us, and I was inside, and we took a big chunk out the window. Cut a hole in the window, and I got inside, and it took me a while to find what we were looking for. And then while I was in there, I opened these cupboards, and it was, you know, those cartons of cigarettes and 10,000 cartons. And boy, I jumped up in the air. We hit the jackpot, see? And I began to pull them things out, and I run to the window, pass them out, and then get another box and pass them out. I was passing them to a policeman. For real. I ain't kidding you. I told you it was crazy. I passed them to a policeman. I noticed them black gloves. My friends had ran. You're laughing at me because you're laughing at yourself. You've done crazy things too. That's why they called us the Quality Street Gang. I was out of prison 5 months and I couldn't find a job anywhere. them guys would knock on the door every day. But you know, God had put resistance in there. He put strength in there. And I promise you, you're never alone when you walk with God. He'll mind your back every time. He'll watch over you all the time. He'll never leave you. These are not just words. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, he said, I'm with you to the end of time. When Satan comes and sin comes, temptation comes and vileness comes, he's a barrier, he's a wall. He stands there ready to protect us. I can tell you that from my experience. He's a wonderful Savior. For 5 months, they'd knock on my door, and every day I would go look for a job, and I couldn't get one. They'd ask me where I'd been working the last 10 years, and I'd have to tell them the truth. And they'd say, we call you. But one day after 5 months, I found me a job. And I want to tell you, God has got a plan for your life. I tell you, Pastor Carter, every man, God has a plan for that life. And that life was for Christ to shine through it. 5 months without a job, I didn't know what God was doing. But he was preparing me for the future. 5 months, no money, no clothes, no nothing. But every day, I was acting faithful. I wanted a job. I didn't know I was being faithful. I just wanted to do what was right for the first time in my life. And I got a job after 5 months, and for 5 years I held that job. Only time I held a job in my life. I was a window cleaner, not a brain surgeon. I cleaned windows in them skyscrapers, and now them drunks would come to work in the morning time, 6 o'clock, they'd get in them things, them chairs with me, and we'd go up. I was the only one singing. I said, I was the only one singing. During that time, I remember being in prison. Paul was my idol. The Apostle Paul became my idol. I loved him. And then I read one time how he said, Paul the Apostle said, it would be better to remain single so there'd be no ties in preaching this gospel. I said, that's me. I made up my mind. I was the last in my family to get married. And my mom used to worry about me. He's going to be lonely all his life. She prayed, man. I was 3 weeks out of prison. I went into a tent crusade. I got my mind made up, bro. I'm staying with God, just me and the Lord. Saw this pretty girl, and that was it. I married her, and 36 years later, she's still my girlfriend. He gave me a beautiful Christian wife. He took me back into them prisons. And pastor, tens and tens of thousands of men I've seen come to know Jesus. Russia, all over this world. And it doesn't take a genius to preach the gospel. It just takes a man to tell of his love of God. And to tell of the wonderful love of God. It's very simple. It's very simple. If you know him, you're never afraid of the future when you walk with God. And you're never ashamed of the past, because he wipes the past away. He takes away the guilt. And he expresses himself through you in a way you never can understand. He's an amazing God. I said, he's an amazing God. He's an amazing friend. My mother used to worry. She passed a prison one day when I was in prison years ago. Must be nearly 40 years ago. And she was with a friend in the mountains of Wales. And her friend said, why are you so unhappy, Eileen? And she said, well, my son's behind them walls and I'm enjoying this wonderful hills and mountains of Wales. And I'm seeing all these beautiful things. My mom ain't saying nothing compared to what I've seen. Yes, sir. I've been all over. Seeing what God has done all over this world. It's an amazing life. I said it's an amazing life. And you know what? Unlike the world, I can say, and the best is yet to be. See, when a man gets born again, he gets born again with Isaiah 58 inside of him. It's a way of life. And he brings you to that way of life. You don't achieve it, don't accomplish it. He brings you to that place by living through you every day of your life. It's an amazing gospel. I could tell you stories all night long. But I know that God, right now, God is speaking into lives. I never went to school. And I hated being illiterate at 15. I liked soccer more than anything else in the world. I had no ambitions, no nothing. By the time I was 30, it was a total waste of life. There was nothing. I'm 68 now. And the last 37 years, boy, they have topped the past by a million miles. Yes, sir, I want to tell you, I ain't lost now. I ain't miserable now. I got life now. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And listen, it's not because I'm good. My wife will tell you that. It's because I'm saved by the grace of God. Saved. And Pastor Carter and I talked. He said, a lot of people come to my church on a Sunday night that don't know Jesus. He said, could you share your testimony? I said, yes, sir. If you're listening tonight, it's not about me. It's about what God desires to do in your broken, empty life. It's about what God has in store for you. You think, well, who am I? You're God's creation. And he desires to live in you. He desires to fulfill your life with his glory. He has a plan for you. You ask my neighbors 40 years ago, but God got a plan for me. They'd shake their head. But today, he has a plan. And it's not to harm us, but to bless us in every way, to use us for his glory. Are you a Christian tonight? Do you love him? He's the same to you as he is to me. Is that right? But if you don't know Christ tonight, you're outside that family. You don't know what singing and dancing's all about till you come to know Jesus. Don't know what it's like to be free of a broken heart or an empty life till you come to know Jesus. And the only way to come to know him is to throw yourself at his mercy, realizing, just like I did, he's not just a figment of your imagination. He's not just somebody that people preach about. He indeed is the living Christ. And that he died for you. Not for just for me, but for you. The day I found out that Jesus died for me, I wrote to my father, who's an unsaved man, who hadn't spoke to me for years because of the way I lived. I said, Dad, and he died for you too. One year later, my dad was saved. Tonight, as every head is bowed, Christian, you bow your head and pray. People in this house tonight, empty, broken, sorrowful, cold, need Jesus. That's why we're here tonight, to glorify God. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to give you an invitation to come to know the God I know. And the only way that barrier between you and him is broken is when you realize that you're a sinner, but that Christ died for you, that he loved you, and he came for one reason, to free you from that sin. That's the only reason he came. You're bound up in sin tonight. You know that by the way you live. There's a way out. And this preacher man is telling you, Jesus is that way out. He'll turn no man away. So every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I want you to do something with me. If you don't know Christ, I want you to pray quietly, just like I did. Over 30 years ago, in my prison cell, I didn't know He was going to give me a life like this. And I can't tell you the kind of life He's going to live through you. But I can promise you one thing. You won't have to go to a lost eternity. You won't have to pay the price for your sin. But He will bless you all along the way. It's a wonderful journey. Pray this prayer with me. You want in? You want to come into the kingdom of God? You want to know what it's like to know Jesus? You want out of the mess? Pray quietly with me in your hearts. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. This is what I said. But I pray, Father, with all my heart, that You'll forgive me of my sin. For I know that Jesus died so I could live. He has paid the price for my sin. And Lord Jesus, I now accept You as my Lord and Savior. Would You please come into my heart? I give myself to You freely, Lord. Please come and live Your life in me. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, we're probably doing it different. If you've prayed that prayer with me tonight, and you're sincere, you can stand. It takes courage to be a Christian. But the moment you stand and begin to head down to these altars, we're going to pray with you. I can promise you, you'll never be the same again. Would you come tonight quietly? Would you come if you prayed? Would you come to these altars tonight, right now? Pastor Carter, would you come? Would you come tonight? Jesus loves you. That's right. That's right. You just come on down. Right where you are, come on down. There's many of you. God is talking to you tonight. God has a plan for your life. Don't reject God. He never rejected you. He got a plan for you. Would you come to these altars tonight? Would you pray for them, Christian? Would you pray for those men and women that come to these altars right now in Jesus' name?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand, give everybody an opportunity so they can come out of their seats this evening. In the balcony, in the annex, in the main sanctuary, if the Lord is speaking to you this evening and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, would you just slip out of wherever you are? Turn to a friend. If you brought a friend with you, if you got somebody beside you, just say, look, if you're shy to go and you want to give your life to Christ, I'll go with you right now. Would you do that right now? Just talk to somebody. Go ahead. Talk to the person beside you. Just say, if you want to go down, I'll go with you. You don't even have to know the person is beside you, but you can give that invitation. Please don't be shy to do that this evening. And come, just come. Join these that are coming, all these young people, these guys that are coming, to give their lives to Jesus Christ. If you'll lead us in a song, please. And just keep coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. To be forgiven, to be free. This is not a pipe dream. This is not just some religious thing that makes you feel good at an altar. This is, you're talking about the rest of your life now. You're talking about God coming and living inside of you and having the guilt and shame and stain and hopelessness and the imprisonments of this life washed away. God promises a new mind. He promises a new heart. He says, I'll give you a new spirit. That means I'll give you, your whole inner being will be changed by the presence of God because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago. He broke the power of hell. He broke the power of darkness. He broke the power that can keep you bound, that you can't get out of on your own. And He will give you a new life. That's what this testimony is about tonight. That's what all of these testimonies have been about. It's about a new life. No matter how old or young you are or whatever it is that you've done, there is no pit so deep that the hand of God cannot reach you. There's no despair so dark that He can't bring light into that place and give you hope for the future. Oh, thank God. Thank God. This is a wonderful story, but it doesn't have to be somebody else's. It can be yours tonight. This can be your testimony. not just Brother Pete's, not just Pastor Carter's, not just the folks that shared from this pulpit this evening, but it can be your story. You can walk out of here completely transformed because it's not something you do, it's something God does inside of you. Hallelujah. If you will open your heart and recognize that Jesus died for you, and that if you'll let him do what he wants to do, he'll cleanse you, forgive you of the wrong you've done, and change you from the inside out. As we worship, please, please, if God is speaking to your heart tonight, just slip out of wherever you are and join these a couple of dozen that have come here this evening already. Just join them. Thank God. Thank God for these that are coming. Thank God for the courage to step out. Your life will never be the same again. Let me pray for you right now, please. Father, I pray for these that have come to the forward in this auditorium tonight. Lord, only you can reveal the depth of your love for each of us, Lord. And God, I'm asking you to do that now. Your word says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the depth of your love for these. Each of these, young and old, rich and poor. Lord Jesus Christ, this is the desire of your heart. You died for us because you love us. Help us, God, to open our hearts to that love, to receive it, and to never walk away from it for the rest of our days. God, give us the grace, the strength. Oh, God, thank you. Take a moment at those that have come forward, take a moment and talk to God right now. Would you do that? Go ahead. You don't need any religious talk. Just talk to God. Just in a whisper. Just like I'm doing to you right now. You can say things like, God, I really don't get all of this, but I feel your presence. And I really don't know how, but I want to walk with you. And I'm sorry for all the things I've done and for all the things that have been done to me. I want to be free. I want to be healed. I want to live for you all the days of my life. I want the kind of life that I heard about tonight. And these are the things you can say. And you can talk to God when you go home. You're not going to go home alone tonight. You can close the door to your room if you have a room, and you won't be there alone. He'll be there with you, and you can talk to him, and he will talk to you. And you can lift your hands, and because you were created to do that, and to give praise to him. And you can thank him for loving you. In spite of the messes, he loves us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray tonight that none of these men and women turn from you. That as we heard tonight with Brother Pete's testimony, that you will give the strength to say no to old ways of living, old friends, old habits. You will give the strength, and we will not be discouraged. God, thank you for what you've done tonight. Thank you, Lord, that these men and women will live for you. And they will begin to speak to other people in ways they never believed they ever would. They'll be given the new life, Lord, that you've promised to all of us who've trusted in you. And Father, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.